We are busy with a series entitled The Fabric of Life, and the fabric of life is all about relationships. Relationships create, relationships conform and commit, and relationships also conclude. So in other words, what we have found to be extremely effective in counseling and helping people transform from addiction to healthy living and non-addiction is right relationship. So there's an old saying that says, bad company corrupts good character. But the converse is true as well. If the character is strong enough, it lifts people up. And so you want to make sure that if you want to move on in life, that you do one of two things, if not both. Surround yourself with people who are better than you. Glad to say we've got a church full of those. Also, make sure if you consider yourself healthy and stable that you help mentor someone that's not quite there yet. They might not even have the foresight to request such help and assistance. But you're going to do that anyway. Keep a beady eye out for those who need your character, your integrity, and your strength, and then offer a helping hand. So last week we looked at Psalm 23 and its relational construct. And here were the 3 points to catch you up if you weren't here. Everybody needs a leader. Everybody needs a companion. And everybody needs a servant. Those are 3 essential relational mechanisms and bodies that every human being needs. You will suffer in some form, not just relationally, but especially so, if one of those 3 are missing. Some people have got 2 out of the 3 missing. And those who are really in desperation have all 3 missing. No leader, no companion, and no servant. My brother told me a joke in the week, and I don't know if it's appropriate, but in the South African context where we have this giant of apartheid looming over even our current thinking, It was in that context. And he mentioned to me, he says, you know, we've got the saying where it says, it takes a village to raise a child, right? He says, but I find it strange, because in some communities it only takes Mavis. You see, it's one-dimensional thinking. That it's okay for you guys, you got a leader, the chief. You got companions, fellows, fellowship. And you've got servants, we all help each other. It's called Ubuntu. But in a highly westernized, highly rational to the point where it becomes irrational and nullifies itself, thinking, as long as we have a servant, I'm okay. Are you all with me? You harm yourself when you do not function in all 3 Psalm 23 relational elements. And that's the Psalm 23 construct. Now, John chapter 19, verse 25, actually from verse 26, but let's read from verse 25 to get context. Verse 25 says this. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, his auntie, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. A whole lot of Marys. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, which is John, he's trying to be humble here, not mention his name. He said to his mother, one of the Marys, dear woman, here is your son. Speaking of John. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple, he should have said, took her into my home, because he's writing, and he's writing about himself. And so John is not trying to be cryptic when he speaks of himself in the third person. He's trying to be humble, and he's trying to erase conflict from setting in the early church, and this was written decades after the crucifixion. The point is, do you know people who get jealous because of your relational favor? You see this very often in the context of work. The manager, the boss, the owner, the CEO, whoever is tasked with those leadership responsibilities, might just personality-wise like your jokes, Robert. And so he walks by and he shares a joke with you. He's not offering any favor from a vocational point of view. You're not getting paid more. He just likes your jokes. And those who stand around and see this little social engagement that you have on a regular basis now get jealous. And you're not one of those guys who's going to name drop at the coffee machine or the canteen or the water cooler. You understand social dynamics. And so you never say, your boss's name is Bob, right? Yes, thank you. Well, sorry, Dr. Bob. But you don't stand around in these spaces and you say, you know, I was talking to Bob the other day. And, you know, we decided that we're going to go camping next week. Just by the way, ladies, you can't camp at my house. It's not happening. The point is, you have the wisdom to do that because you understand the fallen nature of how people judge just your innocent relationship with someone else. And so you try and act humble. And you say, you know, if it applies to the conversation at hand, I was talking to someone the other day and he shared this joke with me because you're too afraid to say it was Bob that shared the joke with you. And you don't want any personal kudos or, you know, or points being heaped upon you that I'm closer to the boss than you are. This is what John is doing. He's not trying to be evasive. He's not trying to be peculiar in any sort. He's trying to be humble. So he says, verse 25, near the cross of Jesus stood Mary, Mary, and Mary, and Mary. Very common name in those days. And the amazing thing about this recording is that all the men had fled at this point in time besides the disciple that Jesus loved, John. Peter was standing a bit far off, viewing the happenings of the torture and crucifixion of Jesus around a comfy fire amongst people who shouted, "Crucify him." The rest are not even recorded. They just disappeared. John, the beloved, was the only disciple who stood by Jesus. He had the frame of mind and the understanding to know that it's not just about my safety. It's about providing comfort to the vision of Jesus. There's someone still here. It's about being a support to the family members of Jesus who have to, with their very eyes, see his physical body being ripped apart. I will function as a mother to your mother. We might not be able to get you off that cross. It's God's mandate. But I can comfort you a little by letting you know I'm willing to obey you even by looking after this very close person in your life. That was woman. The men don't have a striking record in this regard. But the woman showed courage, integrity, strength in the face of danger and even death. So there are these women, and women, we salute you. Because very often you carry the burden of society. Very often you carry the financial burden. Very often you display a courage when we men lack it. And you, like super troopers, forge a way ahead. I'm convinced. Did we sing a song earlier? I thought I heard it. God will make a way. We didn't? Oh, did we? Practice. Oh, we practiced. I thought, this morning. Yes, I thought I heard it. And very often women will make a way. Men will disappear sometimes. Women make a way. And so very quickly, I want to give you three, or make it four, paradoxes, almost contradictions of relationship that we find in this passage and just a little bit further on, but for time's purposes, I won't read it. But you've got the four Marys standing at the foot of the cross in the face of great danger, torture, and personal distress because you don't want to see that. It's like a horror movie playing out in reality before your very eyes. So the first contradiction or paradox I want to mention is this. Casual versus careful. You see, you don't want to approach relationships casually. Because if you do, at the moment danger hits, you are gone. Some of us have got, we call them acquaintances, but we think they are friends. They are casual friendships. They are contextual. They are only there because somehow destiny has placed these people in our lives. Serendipity has enacted its cruel joke on us. You spend 8 hours a day with your friends at school. You spend 12 hours a day sometimes working late with people and develop a rapport. And you think that that is a covenantal, committed relationship, but it's not. It's only because you share the same space. It's casual. You might think that, but they know it's not. Let me give you an example. When it's a special occasion, you might invite them over for whatever the special occasion is. Birthday party, son's 13th party, whatever. But you never get invited there. Because to them, this is a casual thing. You are a colleague, you are not a friend. You got to be careful about who you attach yourself to. The issue is not just a moral one. In other words, bad company corrupts good character. The issue is also a socially dangerous one. It could hurt you. And it could set you back for years. Some of you will say, my friend betrayed me. But if you really analyze the nature of that relationship, you were colleagues. You weren't friends. It was a casual association because of context. And you weren't careful enough. Be careful in your relationships. Now, let me, in and amongst us 12, and one of the people that's not here, and so to all the lecturers, we are always told, don't preach from what's not there. I'm doing it this morning, forgive me. But one of the people not here is Judas. But Jesus knew exactly who Judas was. There had an interesting comment that one of my friends sent me the other day, and it said, you got to know the difference between your Judas and your Peter. Peter, you restore, even though he runs away because he's a friend. Mistake. Judas, you stay away from. You run away. Peter had a good heart with bad actions. Judas had good actions working with the money, but a bad heart. And so when you look back at it, you're going to realize that you never were friends. You were a means to an end. You were a colleague. You were contextual, but you didn't go deep. Until Loretta, forgive me for saying this. I shared this with you yesterday in our little conversation before I was thrown out. And so you have to hear it again. But we've got to be careful in our friendships and our relationships. The same as how we choose what church to go to. All right? Because you see, some people like the surface. So I put something on my Facebook page this morning which speaks to this, and it says this, and I explain it in a moment, still under careful versus casual. If you can't swim, you are forced to go deep. If you can't swim, you are forced to go deep. So it means two things. The first thing is this, that if you have an ability, then that ability very often works against you. The art of war often says, use the strength of your enemy, of your opponent, against them, because they do not see the chinks in their armor. What you think is a strength could very well be used to bring you down. You could be great in a certain aspect of functioning, ministry, actioning, and yet your pride sits in and you fail to realize that, listen, things have changed. The environment has changed. They cut my hair. They fed me some defiled thing. It reduced my strength. And you function still in a strength that is no longer of the same quality. So sometimes your ability is your weakness. But for those who can't swim, like myself, I just about managed to get wet. That's as far as I can go. But if I were to go into waters where I cannot, my feet cannot touch the ground and the water level just comes up till about here. If I were to go any deeper, I will sink. I have to go. I don't have the ability to float. I know you think I look like I can float, but this isn't very buoyant. Okay? I go straight down. Now here's the thing. On the surface level, there's life, it appears, and there's activity. Right? And people aren't extremely careful. We balyar and have a joyous time in the waves. That's, again, what I can do physically. You might find some people like Gordon with his surfboard all fully waxed and ready and prepared to go on the waves. And there he goes doing loop-de-loops and all of these other type of things they do. There's life, there's activity, there's fun on that level. But you're just hitting the surface. And the majority of people are there. Sometimes God takes a Peter Cornelius, puts him in an ocean called Clermont, drops him, and he says, swim. And I say, Lord, I can't swim. And he says, I was making a joke. I want you to go deep. And the thing is, the deeper you go into the abyss of the oceans, you realize that what you think is life, you won't find down there. The deeper you go, the more lonely you get. The social circle becomes smaller. The people who are willing to go down there with you become less and less and less. And strangely enough, the deeper you go, the more life you find. It's the reverse economy of Jesus. So be careful where you are functioning. Don't just function on the waves, on the surface. God has called you to scuba diving. God has called you to deep sea diving. He hasn't just called you to surfing. Don't be casual, be careful. Number two, committed versus covenant. Now, I know that sounds like the same thing, right? So, the first thing is, Jesus was very careful about who he chose. So he chose 12 people, and yes, they made a mistake. Some of them ran away. All of them were restored, with the exception of Judas. You want to be careful in that sense as well. Secondly, there is this phenomenon of being committed but not being covenantal. It's the definition of the postmodern society. We live together, and we'll do everything that married people do. We'll have children, pay a bond. We're just not going to get married. We don't covenant. So here's the short end of the stick. There's not a lot of security in that. And you need to be very careful about not covenanting with people. And church membership is exactly the same. What you've seen the three of us do today is commit via covenant publicly that I am with you. You don't get rid of me that easily. I don't get rid of you that easily. Because we're in this together. It's going to hurt if ever the break does have to come. But we're not just committed to one another. We are covenanting before God with one another. You want friends like that. You want a companion, as we heard last week, that's going to be your Samwise Gamgee. That's going to covenant with you in the hard times. And even in the great times where it's easy to be your friend, don't just be committed, be covenanted in your relationships. Number three, covert versus covered. You see, Peter, again preaching from what's not here, moves away and he stands and he covertly wants to be close to Jesus. Do you know people like that? Covertly want. I can see what's happening, but I still want to be with the people by the fire. I'm covert. I'm undercover. Do you know Jesus? No, I don't know Jesus. That guy over there on the cross, never seen him before. That was Peter. And the moment you go covert is the moment you lose your covering from God. You see, God has not called any secret agent who are Christians. Certainly not in the type of society that we live. My personality has changed much over the years. I've always been quite a social person, but inwardly introverted. So I could sit and read books and watch material and write material and do all of these things. I got no problem sitting at a desk and doing that. But the job has demanded that you get used to people and socialize, and it's become a big part of my life, and we're talking about a long time now. And so that has seeped into the DNA of my personality. That's who I am now, without losing the love for aloneness. But having said all of that, I understand that my covering is in Jesus and not in people. And yet there is a sense in which your relationship with people covers you. Colloquially, we call it accountability. And you want good friends who you have covenanted with, who you've been careful in terms of your selection, not carefree, careful. And when they see that you are slipping away, standing at the fire in the seat of the scornful and the mocker, they are able to, with great authority, speak to you and say, friend, good friend, I think you're going in the wrong direction. You should be coming back. That's what Jesus does in his reinstatement. He says, listen, leader, companion, servant, come back. Feed my lambs. Get back into the service and the presence of the church. Reassume the mantle and the calling upon your life. Leads me to mechanism number four. The first one is casual versus careful. Second one is committed versus covenant. The third one is covert versus covered. And the last one is convenience versus calling. Be careful, people, friends, church members, beloved, of people who are in your life only because of convenience. There are children who are in our lives because of necessity. And they will move from necessity towards responsibility, hopefully. But very often they hang around because of convenience. Are you all with me? And we've got to be careful about that. So parents, it's our responsibility to make sure that we don't hang on to them out of convenience, because they provide a service to me. And vice versa. You don't want to be supporting your child financially when they're 45 years old. Now, I'm not talking about helping. We made a bad decision. We lost 250,000 rand. I don't know where money for paying the bills are. If I'm a parent, I'm going to help you. Because that's not your character. It was a bad decision. But when it's consistently that I am not bringing my part to the table and I'm a leech, and I'm sucking everything from mommy and daddy, and I refuse to take responsibility for my actions. They're simply connected to you, not just by blood at this point. They're connected to you because of the convenience factor. Ladies, can I give you a very quick example? So that's the parental application. Let me give you a romantic application. And let me speak as a man. You've heard this before. It's not nothing new. But why would I buy the milk or the carton or the cow if I get the milk for free? And you've got to be very, if it's convenient, man, I can tell you, I'll use it, but I won't love it and I won't always appreciate it. So you have a value, ladies. And don't allow a man to use you, abuse you, just because you are there. You've got to value yourself a bit more than just the convenience factor. You've got to understand that there's a calling factor. So let me start off as I conclude with the basics. Number one, every person, but specific to women, since it's Women's Month, and we started off with the heroism of woman at the cross. Let me end off with heroism of what a woman who is possibly single, maybe not, but who has got to make some decisions in a relational life, a romantic life. Number one, love yourself like Jesus does. And what I, thank you. And what I mean by that is, you're going to respect yourself with great decisions that honor God. Because whoever honors God is blessed and covered by God. And I can't understand, Lorna, you spoke so well and so into this, so thank you for giving me a conclusion that fits in with the theme of the service. That you are called to love yourself. Now, I'm not talking about this self-love that goes all over the place in terms of this New Age thinking. I'm talking about a Christian, biblically motivated view of yourself that says, I am called to be holy. I'm called to be righteous. And I don't care how well your hair product makes you look. You are not going to take me away from that calling. The second thing is that you're not only going to treat yourself and love yourself like Jesus loves you. You are going to have a vision of eternity the way Jesus has a vision of it. You are called to it. You're going to be careful what you see. Now, I know we talk about things like pornography and all of those. It's evil. Stay away from it, men and women. Women are increasingly looking and viewing these type of things. I'm not talking about that. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. I'm listening to some of the songs that my son covertly is listening to. Yeah, I hear, Opeli. And the message that is coming through these songs, it's evil. And it treats women as if they're nothing but sexual objects, and I don't want my son to learn to think about women that way. It treats young girls to trade their flesh through the mechanism of vision so that now they are valued. Teach them to gyrate their bodies in sexual manners of titillation so that men could find them now attractive. It's an evil economy. Have a vision of your eternity like Jesus has. Understand that, yes, I am holy. Yes, I am righteous. But have the right vision to say that even romantic relationships and the hormonal need to connect with the opposite sex is not going to change my eternal destiny. You don't want to be like Esau, who will sell his birthright for a plate of food, for something far less valuable. And let me tell you, there's going to come a time, young ladies, for those of you who are young, where you won't fit into that hot pants. Where if you were to wear it, it certainly won't attract the guys. Men, there's going to come a time, I'm waiting for the day when it happens to Matthew McConaughey, where you have to keep your shirt on. Where taking it off will actually work against you. And then what are you going to be left with? Have a vision of the eternal future that God has for you. And then have a vision or have an understanding of the calling that God has for you. You are not called to think and act in these ways. Be wise. Not just in your youth, but be wise even in your old age. I was speaking to our former president that Gordon was referring to Lindsay Rehnquist, and his mom passed away not too long ago, as his dad has also passed on a year or two before she did. And when she became single, he told me, man, he's got to manage the stuff here, because there are men knocking on his mom's door, and this woman was 80. And he was saying, I can't think of my mom like this. And I can't believe that this is what's happening. That they're still romantic and wanting to court each other and do all of these things and, you know, and all those type of stuff. This isn't just about being young and wearing whatever, promiscuous clothing. This can happen even in middle age. This can happen in older age, post 70. Protect yourself. You are called to a higher standard and a higher relationship. Let me conclude with this. Let me give you the points in summary quickly and then we're done. Casual versus careful, you want to be careful. Committed versus covenant, you want to be covenantal. Covert versus covered, you want to be covered. And convenience versus calling, you want to be called. Above all, let no one rob you of Jesus. I love Janine. Janine loves me, but I can tell you, if I were to ever come between her and Jesus, I'd be the one to go. I'm hoping that I can say the same. No one comes between me and Jesus. No one comes between her and Jesus. Let nothing come between you and Jesus. Close your eyes, bow your head. Worship team, come up in the meantime. I want to pray very, very quickly. I'm going to pray a general prayer.